Chapter 16. "It's a genuine thing," Titsin announced at last, folding up the letter and handing it to Mushkin. "By the uncontested will of your aunt, you will come into a very large fortune without any difficulty."
"Impossible!"
the general fired off like a pistol shot. Everyone was agape with astonishment again. Titsin explained, addressing his remarks chiefly to General Lepanshin, that Mushkin had 5 months previously lost an aunt, whom he had never known personally, the elder sister of his mother and the daughter of a Moscow merchant of the Third Guild called Papushin, who had died bankrupt and in poverty. But the elder brother of this Papushin, who had also died lately, had been a well-known rich merchant. His two only sons had both died in the same month a year before. The shock of their loss had led to the old man's illness and death shortly after. He was a widower and had no heirs in the world but his niece, Mushkin's aunt, who was quite a poor woman without a home of her own. At the time she inherited the fortune, she was almost dying of dropsy, but she had at once tried to find Mushkin, putting the matter into Selaskin's hands, and she had had time to make her will. Apparently neither Mushkin nor the doctor, in whose charge he was in Switzerland, had cared to wait for an official notification or to make inquiries, and the prince, with Selaskin's letter in his pocket, had decided to set off himself. "However, I can only tell you," Titsin concluded, addressing Mushkin, "that this is certainly true and incontestable, and everything Selaskin says to you as to the authenticity and certainty of your fortune, you may take as equal to hard cash in your pocket. I congratulate you, Prince. You too will perhaps come in for 1.5 million, possibly more. Papushin was a very rich merchant."
"Bravo! The last of the Mushkins!" yelled Ferdoshenko. "Hurrah!" croaked Lebedev in a drunken voice. "And I lent him 25 rubles this morning, poor fellow." "It's a fairy tale, that's what it is," said the general, almost stupefied with astonishment. "Well, I congratulate you. I congratulate you."
And he got up and went to embrace Mushkin. The others, too, rose and also pressed round Mushkin. Even those who had retreated behind the curtain came into the drawing-room. There was a confused hubbub of talk and exclamations. There were even clamours for champagne. Everyone was in fuss and excitement. For an instant they almost forgot Nastasia Philipovna, and that she was, anyway, the hostess. But gradually, and almost simultaneously, the thought occurred to all that Mushkin had just made her an offer of marriage, so that the position struck them as three times as mad and extraordinary as before. Greatly astonished, Totski shrugged his shoulders. He was almost the only person still sitting. The rest of the company were crowding round the table in disorder. People asserted afterwards that it was at this moment Nastasia Philipovna went mad. She was still sitting down, and for some time looked about her with a strange and wondering gaze, as though she could not take it in, and were trying to grasp what had happened. Then she suddenly turned to Mushkin, and with a menacing frown stared intently at him. But that was only for a moment. Perhaps she suddenly fancied that it was all a joke, a mockery. But Mushkin's face reassured her. She pondered, then smiled again vaguely, as though not knowing why.
"Then I am really a princess," she whispered to herself, as if it were mockingly,
and, chancing to look at Darya Alexeyevna, she laughed.
"It's a surprising ending. I didn't expect it. But why are you all standing, friends? Please sit down. Congratulate me and the prince. I think someone asked for champagne. Ferdoshenko, go and order it. Katya? Pasha?"
She suddenly caught sight of her maids in the doorway.
"Come here. I'm going to be married. Did you hear? To the prince. He has 1.5 million. He is Prince Mushkin and is marrying me. And a good thing, too, my dear. It's high time. It's not a chance to miss," cried Darya Alexeyevna, tremendously moved by what had passed. "Sit down beside me, prince," Nastasia Philipovna went on. "That's right. And here they are bringing the wine. Congratulate us, friends."
"Hurrah!"
shouted a number of voices. Many of them were crowding round the wine, and among these were almost all Rogozhin's followers. But though they shouted and were prepared to shout, yet many of them, in spite of the strangeness of the circumstances and the surroundings, realized that the situation had changed. Others were bewildered and waited mistrustfully. Many whispered to one another that this was quite an ordinary affair, that princes marry all sorts of women, even girls out of gypsy camps. Rogojin himself stood staring, his face twisted into a fixed and puzzled smile.
"Prince, my dear fellow, think what you are doing,"
General Lepanchin whispered with horror, coming up sideways and pulling Mushkin by his sleeve. Nastasya Philipovna noticed this and laughed.
"No, General. I am a princess myself now, do you hear? The prince won't let me be insulted. Afanasy Ivanovich, you too congratulate me. I can sit down beside your wife now, everywhere. What do you think? It's a good bargain, a husband like that. 1.5 million and a prince and an idiot into the bargain, they say. What could be better? Real life is only just beginning for me now. You're too late, Rogojin. Take away your money. I am marrying the prince, and I am richer than you are."
But Rogojin had grasped the situation. There was a look of unspeakable suffering in his face. He clasped his hands, and a groan broke from his breast.
"Give her up!"
he shouted to Mushkin. There was laughter.
"Give her up! For you!" Darya Alexeyevna pronounced triumphantly. "He plumped the money down on the table, the lout! The prince is marrying her, but you only came in to make an upset.
I'll marry her too. I'll marry her once this minute. I'll give up everything."
"Get along. You're a drunkard out of a tavern. You ought to be turned out,"
Darya Alexeyevna repeated indignantly. The laughter was louder than before.
"Do you hear, prince?" said Nastasya Philipovna, turning to him. "That's how a peasant bids for your bride."
"He is drunk," said Mushkin. "He loves you very much."
"And won't you feel ashamed afterwards that your bride almost went off with Rogojin?"
"You were in a fever. You are in a fever now, almost delirious."
"And won't you feel ashamed when people tell you afterwards that your wife used to live with Totsky as his kept mistress?"
"No, I shan't be ashamed. It wasn't your doing that you were with Totsky."
"And you will never reproach me with it?"
"Never."
"Be careful. Don't answer for your whole life." "Nastasya Philipovna," said Mushkin softly, and as it were with compassion,
"I told you just now that I would take your consent as an honour, and that you are doing me an honour, not I you. You smiled at those words, and I heard people laughing about us. I may have expressed myself very absurdly, and have been absurd myself, but I thought all the time that I understood the meaning of honour, and I am sure I spoke the truth. You wanted to ruin yourself just now, irrevocably, for you'd never have forgiven yourself for it afterwards. But you are not to blame for anything. Your life cannot be altogether ruined. What does it matter that Rogojin did come to you, and Gavril Ardalionovitch tried to deceive you? Why will you go on dwelling on it? Few people would do what you have done. I tell you that again. As for your meaning to go with Rogojin, you were ill when you meant to do it. You are ill now, and you had much better go to bed. You would have gone off to be a washerwoman next day. You wouldn't have stayed with Rogojin. You are proud, Nastasya Philipovna, but perhaps you are so unhappy as really to think yourself to blame. You want a lot of looking after, Nastasya Philipovna. I will look after you. I saw your portrait this morning, and I felt as though I recognized a face that I knew. I felt as though you had called to me already. I shall respect you all my life, Nastasya Philipovna." Mushkin finished suddenly, seeming all at once to recollect himself. He blushed, becoming conscious of the sort of people in whose presence he was saying this. Titsin bent his head and looked on the ground, abashed. Totsky thought to himself, "He is an idiot, but he knows that flattery is the best way to get at people. It's instinct." Mushkin noticed, too, in the corner Ganya's eyes glaring at him, as though they would wither him up.
"There's a kind-hearted man,"
Darya Alexeyevna pronounced, much touched.
"A man of refinement, but doomed to ruin," the general whispered in an undertone.
Totsky took his hat and was about to get up and slip away. He and the general glanced at one another, meaning to leave together.
"Thank you, Prince. No one has ever talked to me like that before,"
said Nastasya Philipovna.
"They've always been trying to buy me, but no decent man has ever thought of marrying me." Did you hear, Afanasy Ivanovich? What did you think of all the prince said? It was almost improper, don't you think? Rogozhin, don't go away yet. But you're not going, I see. Perhaps I shall come with you after all. Where did you mean to take me?
To Ekaterinhof, Lebedev reported from the corner. Rogozhin simply started and gazed open-eyed at her, as though he could not believe his senses. He was completely stupefied, as though he'd had a violent blow on the head.
"What are you thinking about, my dear? You really are ill. Have you taken leave of your senses?"
cried Darya Alexeyevna, alarmed.
"Did you really think I meant it?"
laughed Nastasya Philipovna, jumping up from the sofa.
"Ruin a child like that? That's more in Afanasy Ivanovich's line. He is fond of children. Come along, Rogozhin. Get your money ready. Never mind about wanting to marry me. Let me have the money all the same. Perhaps I shan't marry you after all. You thought if you married me, you'd keep your money. A likely idea. I'm a shameless hussy. I've been Totsky's concubine. You ought to marry Aglaya Epanchin now, Prince, instead of Nastasya Philipovna, or you'll have Ferdoshenko pointing the finger of scorn at you. You may not be afraid, but I shall be afraid of ruining you, and of your reproaching me with it afterwards. As for your saying that I am doing you an honour, Totsky knows all about that. And you've just missed Aglaya Epanchin, Ganya, do you know? If you hadn't haggled with her, she would have married you. You're all like that. You should make your choice once for all. Disreputable women or respectable ones. Or you are sure to get mixed. I say, the general is staring. His mouth is open.
This is Sodom. Sodom, said the general, shrugging his shoulders.
He got up from the sofa. Everyone stood up again. Nastasya Philipovna seemed in a perfect frenzy.
Is it possible?
Moaned Mushkin, wringing his hands.
Did you think I meant it? I am proud myself, perhaps, although I am a shameless hussy. You called me perfection this evening. A fine sort of perfection, who, simply to boast of trampling on a million and a princedom, is going into the gutter. What sort of wife should I make you after that? Afanasy Ivanovich, I really have flung away a million, you know. How could you think I should be glad to marry Ganya for the sake of your 75,000? You can take back your 75,000, Afanasy Ivanovich. You didn't rise to 100. Rogozhin has cut you out. I'll comfort Ganya myself. I've thought how to. But now I want some fun. I'm a street wench. I've been 10 years in prison. Now I'm going to enjoy myself. Come, Rogozhin, get ready. Let's go.
Let's go! Roared Rogozhin, almost frantic with delight. Hey, you, wine! Ooh.
Have plenty of wine ready. I want to drink. And will there be music?
Yes. Don't go near her!
Cried Rogozhin frantically, seeing Darya Alexeyevna approaching Nastasya Philipovna.
She is mine! It's all mine! My queen! It's the end!
He was gasping with joy. He walked round Nastasya Philipovna, shouting to everyone,
Don't come near her!
His whole retinue had by now flocked into the drawing-room. Some were drinking, some were shouting and laughing. All were in the greatest excitement and completely at their ease. Ferdoshenko began trying to fraternize with them. General Epanchin and Totsky again attempted to effect a hasty retreat. Ganya, too, had his hat in his hand, but he stood in silence and still seemed unable to tear himself away from the scene before him.
"Don't come near her!" cried Rogozhin.
"Why are you bellowing?"
Nastasya Philipovna laughed at him.
"I am still the mistress here. If I like, I can still kick you out. I haven't taken your money yet. There it lies still. Give it here. The whole bundle. Is there 100,000 in that bundle? Oh, how nasty. What's the matter with you, Darya Alexeyevna? Would you have had me ruin him?"
She pointed to Mushkin.
"How can he be married? He wants a nurse to look after him. The general there will be his nurse. See how he is hanging upon him? Look, Prince, your betrothed takes the money because she is a low woman, and do you want it to marry her? But why are you crying? Are you sorry? You ought to laugh as I do,"
Nastasya Philipovna went on, though there were two large tears glistening on her cheeks.
"Trust to time. It will all pass. Better to think twice now than after. But why are you all crying? Here's Katya crying too. What's the matter with you, Katya, dear? I'll leave a lot to you and Pasha. I've settled it already. And now, goodbye. I've made an honest girl like you wait on a low creature like me. It's better so, Prince. It's really better. You'd have despised me later on, and we should not have been happy. Don't swear, I don't believe it. And how stupid it would have been. No, better part as friends, or no good would have come of it. For I am something of a dreamer myself, you know. Haven't I dreamed of you myself? You are right. I dreamed of you long ago, when I lived 5 years all alone in his country home. I used to think and dream, and I was always imagining someone like you. Good, kind, and honest, and so stupid that he would come forward all of a sudden and say, "You are not to blame, Nastasya Philipovna, and I adore you." I used to dream like that, till I nearly went out of my mind. And then this man would come. Stay 2 months in the year, bringing shame, dishonour, corruption, degradation, and go away. So that 1,000 times I wanted to fling myself into the pond. But I was a poor creature. I hadn't the courage. And now, Rogozhin, are you ready?
Ready! Don't come near her! Ready!
Shouted several voices.
The troikas are waiting with bells.
Nastasya Philipovna snatched up the bundle of notes.
Ganya, an idea has occurred to me. I want to compensate you, for why should you lose everything? Rogozhin, would he crawl on all fours to the other end of Petersburg for 3 rubles?
He would.
Then listen, Ganya. I want to see into your soul for the last time. You have been torturing me for 3 months past. Now it's my turn. You see this roll? There are 100,000 rubles in it. I'm just going to throw it into the fire, before everyone. All are witnesses. As soon as the fire has got it all alight, put your hands into the fire, only without gloves, with your bare hands, and turn back your sleeves, and pull the bundle out of the fire. If you can pull it out, it's yours. The whole 100,000. You'll only burn your fingers a little. But it's 100,000. Think of it. It won't take long to pull out, and I shall admire your spirit, seeing how you put your hands into the fire for my money. All are witnesses that the bundle shall be yours, and if you don't, then it will burn. I won't let anyone touch it. Stand away. Everyone stand back. It's my money. It's my wages for a night with Rogozhin. Is it my money, Rogozhin?
Yours, my joy. Yours, my queen.
Then I'll stand back. I may do what I like. Don't interfere. Fetishenko, make up the fire.
Nastasya Philipovna, I can't raise my hands to it, answered Fetishenko, dumbfounded.
Oh, cried Nastasya Philipovna.
She snatched up the tongs, separated 2 smouldering chunks of wood, and as soon as the fire flared up, she flung the bundle into it. There was an outcry from all the party. Many even crossed themselves.
She's gone out of her mind! She's mad!
They shouted.
Oughtn't we to tie her up? The general whispered to Titsin. Or send for the, Well, she's mad, isn't she? Isn't she?
No, perhaps it isn't quite madness, Titsin whispered, trembling and white as a handkerchief, unable to take his eyes off the smouldering roll of notes.
She is mad. She's mad, isn't she?
The general persisted to Totski.
As I told you, she is a woman of glaring effects, muttered Afanasy Ivanovitch, also somewhat pale.
Oh, but come, you know, it's 100,000! Good heavens!
Was heard on all sides. Everyone crowded round the fireplace. Everyone pressed forward to see. Everyone exclaimed. Some even jumped on chairs to look over each other's heads. Darya Alexeyevna whisked away into the other room and whispered in alarm with Katya and Pasha. The beautiful German had fled.
"Madam! Royal lady! Omnipotent lady!" wailed Lebedev, crawling on his knees in front of Nastasya Philipovna, stretching out his hands to the fire. 100,000! 100,000! I saw the notes myself. They were rolled up before me. Lady, gracious lady, tell me to pick them out. I'll get right in. I'll put my grey head in. My wife is sick and bedridden. I've 13 children, all orphans. I buried my father last week. He had nothing to eat, Nastasya Philipovna.
And he tried to get to the fire.
Get away, cried Nastasya Philipovna, shoving him off. All stand back.
Ganya, why are you standing still? Don't be shy. Pick it out. It's your luck.
But Ganya had suffered too much that day and was not ready for this last unexpected ordeal. The crowd parted in front of him, and he remained face to face with Nastasya Philipovna, 3 steps from her. She was standing close by the fire, waiting, with intent glowing eyes fixed upon him. Ganya stood in his evening dress with his arms folded and his gloves and hat in his hand, gazing mutely at the fire. A frenzied smile strayed on his chalk-white face. It is true that he couldn't take his eyes off the fire, off the smouldering roll of notes, but something new seemed to have risen up in his soul. He seemed to have vowed to endure the ordeal. He did not move from his place. In a few instants it became clear to everyone that he was not going to touch the notes.
"I say, if it's burnt, they'll all cry shame on you," Nastasya Philipovna shouted to him. "You'll hang yourself afterwards. I'm in earnest."
The fire, which had flamed up at first between 2 smouldering brands, was smothered by the bundle being thrown onto it. But a little blue flame still lingered on the lower side at the end of 1 log. At last, the long, thin tongue of flame licked the bundle too. The fire caught it and ran upwards at the corners. Suddenly, the whole bundle flared up in the fireplace, and a bright flame shot up. Everyone drew a deep breath.
"Lady!"
Lebedev vociferated again, pushing forward, but Rogozhin dragged and pushed him back once more. Rogozhin seemed petrified in a fixed stare at Nastasya Philipovna. He could not take his eyes off her. He was drunk with delight. He was in 7th heaven.
"That's like a queen," he kept repeating, addressing himself to everyone near.
"That's style!"
he kept shouting, beside himself.
"Which of you pickpockets would do a thing like that, eh?"
Mushkin looked on, mournful and silent.
"I'd pull it out with my teeth for a paltry 1,000, suggested Ferdoshenko. "I could pull it out with my teeth, too," the fisted gentleman groaned in the rear, in genuine despair.
Damn it all, it's burning! It's all on fire!" he shouted, seeing the flame.
"It's burning! It's burning!"
they all cried with one voice, almost everyone making a dash to the fire.
"Ganya, don't show off. For the last time, I say it."
"Pick it out!"
roared Ferdoshenko, rushing to Ganya in a positive frenzy and pulling him by the sleeve.
"Pull it out, you conceited jackanapes! It'll be burnt! Oh, damn you!"
Ganya pushed Ferdoshenko violently away, turned and walked to the door. But before he had taken 2 steps, he staggered and fell in a heap on the floor.
"Fainting!" they cried. "Dear lady, it will be burnt!" wailed Lebedev. "It'll burn for nothing!"
they were roaring on all sides.
"Katya, Pasha, water for him! Spirit!" shouted Nastasya Philipovna.
She picked up the tongs and pulled out the notes. All the outside wrappings were burnt and in ashes, but it could be seen at once that the inside of the roll was untouched. The bundle was wrapped up in 3 thicknesses of newspaper, and the notes were unhurt. Everyone breathed more freely.
"Only a poor little 1,000 spoiled, perhaps, and the rest are all safe,"
Lebedev commented with great feeling.
"It's all his. The whole roll is his, do you hear, friends?"
Nastasya Philipovna declared, laying the roll of notes beside Ganya.
"He wouldn't do it. He stood the test. So his vanity is even greater than his love of money. It's no matter, he'll come to. But for this he might have murdered someone. There, he's coming to himself. General, Ivan Petrovich, Darya Alexeyevna, Katya, Pasha, Rogozhin, do you hear? The notes are his, Ganya's. I give it him to do as he likes with, as compensation for whatever it is. Tell him. Let it lie there by him. Rogojin, march!
Goodbye, Prince. You are the first man I have seen in my life. Goodbye, Afanasy Ivanovich. Merci.
The crowd of Rogojin's followers passed through the rooms to the front door, after Rogojin and Nastasya Philipovna, with hubbub, clamour and shouts. In the hall the maids gave her her fur coat. The cook, Marfa, ran in from the kitchen. Nastasya Philipovna kissed them all.
Can you be leaving us altogether, dear lady? But where are you going, and on your birthday too, such a day?
The weeping girls asked, kissing her hands.
To the gutter, Katya. You heard that's my proper place. Or else to be a washerwoman. I've done with Afanasy Ivanovich. Greet him for me. And don't remember evil against me.
Mushkin rushed headlong to the street door, where all the party were getting into four troikas with bells. General Epanchin succeeded in overtaking him on the staircase.
Pray think what you are doing, Prince, he said, seizing his arm. Give it up. You see what she is? I speak as a father.
Mushkin looked at him, but without uttering a word, broke away and ran downstairs. At the street door, from which the troikas had just started, the general saw Mushkin call the first sledge and shout to the driver,
Take Katerinhof! Follow the troikas!
Then the general's grey horse drew up, and the general drove home with new hopes and plans and the pearls, which, in spite of everything, he had not forgotten to take with him. Among his plans, the fascinating figure of Nastasya Philipovna flitted two or three times. The general sighed.
I am sorry, genuinely sorry. She is a lost woman, a mad woman. But the prince is not for Nastasya Philipovna now. So it's perhaps a good thing it's turned out as it has.
A few edifying words summing up the situation were uttered by two guests of Nastasya Philipovna's, who decided to walk a little way.
Do you know, Afanasy Ivanovich, they say something of the sort is done among the Japanese, observed Ivan Petrovich Titsin. They say anyone who has received an insult goes to his enemy and says, You have wronged me, and in revenge I've come to cut open my stomach before you. And with those words, actually does rip open his stomach before his enemy, and probably feels great satisfaction in doing so, as though it really were a vengeance. There are strange people in the world, Afanasy Ivanovich.
And you think there was something of the sort in this case, too?
Totsky responded with a smile.
That's clever, though, and you've made an excellent comparison. But you've seen for yourself, my dear Ivan Petrovich, that I've done all I could. I can't do more than I can, you'll admit. But you must admit, too, that that woman has some first-rate points, some brilliant qualities. I felt tempted to cry out to her, if only I could have demeaned myself to do it in that bedlam, that she herself is my best apology for all her accusations. Who wouldn't have been fascinated sometimes by that woman, so that he would forget reason and everything? You see, that lout Rogojin plumped down his load of money at her feet. True, all that happened just now was something ephemeral, romantic and unseemly. But there was colour in it, and originality. You must admit that. My God, what might not be made of such a character, with such beauty? But in spite of all effort, in spite of her education, even, it's all lost. She is an uncut diamond. I've said so several times.
And Afanasy Ivanovich sighed deeply.